O'clock, the British Prime Minister Theresa May is having a really tough time in a debate in the House of Commons. Last night, the Prime Minister managed to persuade her cabinet that the exit deal that she has put a lot of energy into was all right. Except not everybody, because just before 9 o'clock this morning, the Brexit Secretary, Dominic Raab, resigned. And then the Work and Pensions Secretary, Esther McVeigh, followed an hour later. That was followed soon after by the resignations of the Junior Northern Ireland Minister, Shailesh Vara, Junior Brexit Minister, Suella Braverman, Parliamentary Private Secretaries, Anne-Marie Trevelyan and Ranil Jayawardena. But Ms. May is still confident that Britain will exit the European Union on the 29th of March next year and will do so on the basis of a deal. She's dreaming, Gavin Gray. She's not going to get the House of Commons to vote in favour of this deal, is she? Does she have any chance of that?
Good afternoon, John. It would appear unlikely, but I think what she's hoping for is two things that the MPs are dreading. Falling out of the European Union without a deal. So in other words, they think that would be catastrophic. And so therefore, her deal, however unpopular, wouldn't be that unpopular. The other thing particularly that the government ministers are dreading is a general election. They fear for their own jobs, effectively, because I think if there is a general election, I'm not particularly sure the current government would come out of it very well. So they also fear that if, of course, they topple their leader, a leadership election might entail a general election, and that could really cause problems on top of all this. And after all, who then would the other EU members actually negotiate with? Because in that case, we wouldn't have a prime minister to say, I'm leading these talks.
What are the chances of another referendum? I mean, is anybody talking about that as a serious option? Because perhaps if she were to call it, I mean, remember, she was sort of a Remainer before she became Prime Minister, before David Cameron miscalculated and called for the referendum. Is there any chance?
I think there is a chance, not under Theresa May's leadership, however. We can come on to that in a minute. But if she's still in charge, she has consistently said no. That would be a betrayal of what Britain's voted for. Having said that, the leader of the opposition gave an interview recently to a German newspaper and said, no, I can't stop Brexit. I'm not going to stop Brexit. It's thought he, too, actually, is probably somebody that would have voted to have left the European Union and is quite happy to see it go that way. But members of his party said, no. We would definitely consider a second referendum. Everything is on the table. And certainly there are lots of other politicians saying that. The problem about that is, what happens if the result goes the other way? Do we have a third referendum, a sort of deciding count one? Because other people would point out, well, hang on, you had a referendum. That was where it was voted. So why are you redoing this? And of course, others would say, I voted one way or another in the general election. Now, I don't like what they're doing. So perhaps we ought to have another general election and I can recast my vote. So I think that people are thinking it's going to be very, very divisive to have a second vote. But it obviously depends on which side of the Brexit fence you're sitting.
Yeah, and Theresa May's future as Prime Minister, I'm following the BBC's live reporting on this, and there's something called the 1922 Committee, and if it gets a certain number of letters of intent to trigger a no-confidence vote in Mrs. May, then they can go ahead and do that, and they need 48 letters. They haven't reached that threshold yet, but there is, it seems, an ever-growing prospect that there might be a notion of no confidence in Theresa May. Would she win it? If she doesn't win it, who would take over as the Prime Minister, and what would that Prime Minister's view on Brexit be?
Yes, very complex situation. That's right. 48 is the number that they need. Now, bearing in mind there are 650-odd MPs, that puts into perspective how many 48 is, bearing in mind those people will have to come from her own party, which doesn't have an overall majority anyway. Now, today, in the last hour or so, a group of Conservatives, the party of Parliament, called European Research Group, have said, right, we are going to send, we're encouraging all our members to send letters of no confidence to try and reach that letter of 48. However, it would appear that even within that group, there's a division about whether to try and bring Theresa May down at that point and call this a confidence vote, or to leave it until it goes before Parliament for a vote and then try to vote her Brexit plans down, which would almost certainly force her to resign anyway. So that's on one particular side of the uncertainty. And you mentioned who might take over. Well, very, very interested in that, because there are so many now senior Conservatives, Brexiteers, who are lining up. And Dominic Raab, who resigned as the Brexit Secretary earlier today, I think he might be throwing his hat in. He refused to rule himself out in an interview about an hour ago. Another one who's gone strangely AWOL this morning is a chap called Michael Gove, who's currently the Environment Secretary, but was one of those that challenged for the leadership when David Cameron left, a battle which, of course, Theresa May eventually won. Nobody can find where he is this morning. And then, of course, you've got Boris Johnson, who resigned earlier, who needs no introduction, and David Davis, the former Brexit Secretary, who resigned the first time around.
Yeah, I'm just looking at a report now that says Michael Gove has turned down an offer to be the new Brexit Secretary, and that would make sense if he would prefer to be the Prime Minister than the new Brexit Secretary. Gavin, I'm going to ask you to do something very, very difficult. explain to me, because I don't understand it, really. You see, the biggest sticking point of this all is this backstop agreement. The question of the border between Northern Ireland, which is part of the UK, and the Republic of Ireland, which is and will remain part of the European Union. That seems to be the biggest thing in this mess at the moment. Please explain that to me.
Yes, it's the biggest obstacle. It is the only land border that the UK would have with Europe. And currently, lots of lorries go across the border and lots of ferries go across between the UK and Northern Ireland and then down into Ireland. So although it may seem odd, the whole of the peace process in Northern Ireland was based around a frictionless border. So there are concerns, genuine concerns, that if once again Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland have some sort of a hard physical border between the two countries, that could lead to a rise in violence. Now, what the Prime Minister is saying is we're going to carry on as normal for a bit, but that will be time limited to discuss better ways to resolve this problem, because it's in neither of our interests, Ireland, the UK or the EU, to have a hard border. However, you can't treat Northern Ireland differently than, say, the rest of the UK. And if we aren't to have a customs union with the rest of the UK, you can't have one in Northern Ireland. And so consequently, there's this very, very real problem. They've put in a sort of default position, a backstop, and that would mean that Northern Ireland would stay aligned to some European Union rules. We're talking food, goods, things like that. That will prevent the needs for these hard border checks on the border, but that will require some products being brought into Northern Ireland from the rest of the UK being subjected to new checks and controls. And there's another factor as well here, and that is, John, that if you involve a temporary single customs territory, in other words, all of the UK is being treated that way, then you're effectively keeping the UK in the customs union. So therefore, what was the point of Brexit? Those are the two different options, and that's what the backstop is, as best as I can explain it without a chalkboard and a piece of chalk.
It's a pity, because I think I would have been helped by the presence of a chalkboard and a piece of chalk. I mean, from sitting here, largely ignorant, other than in the most superficial way about what's going on, and understanding that it is important, then it affects South Africa, it affects any country that has a European Union agreement which would have to be changed as a result of the UK leaving the European Union. It is something that we all need to pay some attention to. But I find it really hard to believe that issue is such a mountain in these talks and in these negotiations.
Yes, and some have described it as the tail wagging the dog, because actually the number of products brought into the UK from Ireland is tiny in comparison to the products that go the other way around. In other words, people are saying, why, Theresa May, are you letting the EU dictate to us what's on the border? You know, Northern Ireland is part of the United Kingdom, full stop. And let's not forget in all of this, John, of course, that Theresa May relies on some MPs from a different party in Northern Ireland who are staunchly loyalist to the UK, who are absolutely against any deal that sees Northern Ireland linked to Europe in a way that the rest of the UK isn't. And they say they simply won't vote for those plans in Parliament. So let's say Theresa May doesn't face a no-confidence vote and gets through to next week, a fortnight's time, and then it goes before Parliament. Well, that hasn't even talked about the possibility that EU leaders might turn around and say, do you know what, I don't like this draft agreement, we need to rip up and start again. So there is lots of hard work, Michel Barnier said, the main negotiator for the EU. That is the understatement of the year.
Gavin Gray, our UK correspondent, thank you very, very much.